we're going to impart the Word of God to our children, first you got to have the Word yourself. If we're going to help our children to become wise, then we need to have wisdom. And wisdom comes from the Word. It also comes from the Spirit of God. Of all the great lessons in the Bible concerning foolishness and wisdom, the greatest lesson concerns our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what the most foolish thing that a person can do in their whole life is? Is to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lot of foolish things we've been involved with. It's a lot of stuff we've done. But the wise thing is to choose life. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of life. In fact, He is described as the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. You know, you can talk to people about what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and that's represented here by the word cross. You know, what He did for mankind. And a natural man receives it as foolishness. You talk about the height of foolishness. This is it. And then it says, but unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the what? Power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, man in his inflated ego, in his pride, in his boasting, thinks he's so doggone intelligent. You know, so doggone smart. You know, can figure all of life out. Self-sufficient, self-made man. I don't need anybody. I don't need God. In fact, I don't even believe there is a God. And don't mention that Jesus stuff to me. You know, what's conveyed from the world as being intelligence is the height of foolishness. And it will come to naught. It says in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You know, that which the world calls wisdom, God has made foolish. I mean, you can see how absolutely contrary believing the Word is to the world. In verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, people might think what we're doing here is foolish. You know, what do you want to spend all this time learning the Bible for? That's foolish. Okay. Well, it's what got us saved. It's what teaches us about the power of God. It's what teaches us how to live life rightly. It says, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, some people, they reject God's word because they want to see some sign first. You know, show me something, please. I want to see a sign first. And then other people just reject it because they think they got it all figured out by their own wisdom. But, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, that's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, they consider that foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the what? Wisdom of God. See, if you want to know what wisdom is, true wisdom, genuine wisdom, the height of wisdom, the wisdom of God is Christ. That which we covered in our opening teaching of helping children to be separated from their foolishness unto wisdom is not just to teach kids to work hard. It's not just to teach kids to be humble. It's not just to teach kids that whole list of things that I gave you from Proverbs. You know what it is? It's to teach kids to be believers, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's really foolish for any of us? It's to walk by the old nature. That's foolish. To continue to walk by the old man. That's foolish. You know what's the wisdom of God? To walk after the Christ that's in you. That's the power of God, the wisdom of God. See, and those lessons of Proverbs are designed for young people so that they can learn good habit patterns and become believers who walk by the Spirit. See, who can come to the church epistles and understand spiritual truth. So to bring people to Christ and what Christ has accomplished. It says in verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren." Verse 25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." You know, these are wonderful figures, because God is not foolish, nor is he weak. See, but God, even in his foolishness, is wiser than men. God, even in his weakness, which he doesn't have, by the way, is stronger than men. Verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You know what the flesh here refers to? The old nature. See, the sinful nature. The foolishness that's bound in the heart of a child. You know, that stuff that we looked at in our opening session. That no flesh should glory in his presence. No matter how wise you might think you are, no matter how wonderfully smart, or how rich you are, or how mighty you are, or whatever man's accomplishments are, there's certainly no boast, no glorying that can be done in God's presence. In verse 30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us," what? "Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That's the new nature. That's the new man. That's Christ. And you know what? The Christ that is in you is wisdom. So we as parents can tap into the wisdom of God. How? By walking by the Spirit. It's a new nature. It's wisdom. It's righteousness. It's sanctification. And it's redemption. And then verse 31, "That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in" what? "The Lord." The word glory means boast. If you're going to make your boast about anything, make your boast in what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. That's wise. You know, one way of thinking of parenting, perhaps this will communicate to some of you, is that parenting is really in the category of witnessing and under-shepherding. You know, it's sharing God's word, witnessing God's word to the next generation, and then under-shepherding them. It's kind of a long-term under-shepherding program, but it is. It's bringing people up, under-shepherding them so that they can really learn to walk on their own, so that they can become mature, wise Christian believers. You know, there's a lot of things perhaps I could mention that you can do as a family or you can do as a parent to help your children get God's Word. Certainly one thing, very evidently, is to read the Bible with them. The Bible is a book, right? You know what books are designed to do? Yeah, to be read. That's right. They're more than paperweights. You know, now to read a Bible, you know what you have to do? You have to hold it in your hands. You have to open it. right? And then read. Duh. There does seem to be a little bit of natural resistance to that act. Have you noticed? You know, it's a lot easier to switch on a TV than it is to open a Bible and read it. But it's a great thing to do with your children, is read the Word of God. You know, when they're younger, they can really enjoy many of the stories that are in the Bible, the records in God's Word. I've mentioned reading the book of Proverbs. Those lessons are very, very practical. They're things not only just to read, but then to follow up with, rubbing it in diligently in practical application. You know, to sit and speak God's Word to your children. Say, when, you know, if kids want to be read a story at night before they go to sleep when they're younger, how about telling them what God's Word says at night before they go to sleep? You know, in the book of Proverbs, it teaches us that it's wise to pray and it's foolish not to pray. Well, how about praying with our children? Teaching them to pray. You know, teaching them that God hears and answers prayers. My boys get very excited when they see their prayers answered, as we all do, don't we? You know, when you really see God work in your life, then it moves it out of the realm of just an intellectual acceptance into something that's living and real. You know, that Word of God which is addressed to us is of priority, because it speaks of us. And that Word of God which is addressed to us starts in the book of Romans. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians are 9 epistles that are written to 7 different churches. They're called the 7 church epistles. That is of priority for all Christians. Something that was handled very wonderfully at our summer's family camp is that it's God's will, those few of you that were there will remember this teaching, that it's God's will for all of His people to read all of the Word that is addressed to them. And it's clear from the Word of God, Old Testament all the way through the New. In other words, that all of us, all Christians, would read all of the church epistles. Now that totals 73 chapters. If you want to, maybe check my math, but I think I'm right. 73 chapters, starting in Romans chapter 1. If you read, say, for example, 3 chapters a day, you can finish that undertaking in 25 days. That's something that I recently concluded with my boys. We all did that together. And we took it as an occasion. Like when we were reading Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, I would teach them what Romans 1, 2, and 3 was about. You know, share with them. And then after they'd read it, I'd ask them what they'd learned. And we did that day in and day out. Didn't take long. It wasn't something that was overly challenging. But it's God's will. Very clear direction to do that. God gives us wisdom. You know, you as a parent are in a better position to know what your children need, what they can handle, than anybody. What I'm sharing with you are perhaps suggestions, but that's how you should take them. It's just simply suggestions or ideas. God will work with you. He's more concerned about the raising of your children than you are. Because He's all loving. He's all caring. At times we might not be so loving and caring and diligent, but God always is. To have a family fellowship where you get your family together, perhaps to sing a little bit or to pray together, to read the Bible, can be real wonderful. You know, children need to be taught, particularly as they get older, what's morally right, what's ethically right. Perhaps not all of those lessons are stuff that you're going to read line by line and word by word from the Bible, but you can take the wisdom of God's Word and practically apply it for your children to have help in understanding how to handle the difficult issues of their day. I guarantee you the schools are not doing a very good job in this category, if you haven't noticed. If anything, they're teaching kids that they're not responsible for their actions. You know, children need to learn to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. They can be taught that from a young age. Learn to speak in tongues. I mentioned earlier that we try to have a quiet time before we send our kids to school. Well, sometimes kids get rather cranked up early. And I've taught my children that it's a good thing to start your day by speaking in tongues. You know what speaking in tongues does is it helps you to quiet yourself. It brings rest to the soul. In fact, I drive oftentimes my two younger boys to their local school, and we'll take that little 10-minute drive as a time to all speak in tongues together. It's a reminder to them. It's also good for me. It's a blessing. A very, very important thing to teach your children is teach them individual responsibility, that they are responsible for their own actions, and to teach them to work. That they have responsibilities around the house, that they have things to carry out, to do. When you get to be an adult, a lot of your adult life is spent working, isn't it? I am amazed to see how few human beings really enjoy work. It's rather sad when you stop and think about it. Most people look at their work as being a drag. You know, they can't wait to get it over with. They hate going to it. You know what that makes for? Misery. Frustration. That's not what the Word of God teaches. It teaches that work is honorable. In fact, God says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. He put Adam and the woman in the garden and put them to work. That was paradise. That was in perfection. So tell me that there's something wrong with working. See, that's just foolishness. But to separate a child from his foolishness under the wisdom of God, they got to be taught to work diligently, get a good job done, and to enjoy it. Because there is satisfaction that comes from work. I believe in the Word it says that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. It is. There's great satisfaction that comes from working hard. Boy, another great lesson to teach to children, really for all of us to learn, is to learn to be thankful. You know, instead of being negative and complaining all the time, is to learn to be thankful. And that's something that God commands us to be thankful. You know, with perhaps the way that you teach that is different with younger children than it is with older children. But, you know, when my kids were a little bit younger, we used to play this game where, you know, we talk about what was positive and what was negative. And so I would say something like, I don't like to do homework. And then they'd put their thumb up or thumb down, whether it was positive or negative. You know, and I'd share something like, you know, you're a very kind person and I'd like the way you did that. Like this. You know, it's kind of sad. Now, obviously, you're not going to do that necessarily with a teenager, but but, you know, with younger children, there's a lot of ways that you can work with the child to teach them these basic lessons of life. You know, one thing that we have done in our family is if the child complains about something, is that we've taught them to replace that complaint with three positives. You know, if the negative statement comes out of their mouth, corrupt communication, to replace it with three positive statements. You know, like you hear them in the back, and go, David, you're a jerk! Right? And, you know, stuff like that. So you get involved as a parent and teach them what's right. There's a lot of things we can do as parents. Look at Luke chapter 1. You know, there's a lot of potential parental pitfalls when it comes to raising your children. You know, in some ways we can just be ignorant of or forget the importance of this, of how important it is to teach God's Word to our children. Certainly the senses world is designed to keep us away from doing this. Perhaps one of the biggest challenges in our current culture is that increasingly both dad and mom work, and that parents can get too busy to spend quality time with their children. You know, work hard, you get home, you're tired. You know, you just want to kick back, not do anything. When that's, you know, both parents, can be very, very challenging to a young person. It means that they're not really getting the needed instruction that God, from His Word, plainly would have us to do. I think at a certain point you got to ask yourself, well, what's really important in life? You know, what is my priority? We do live in different seasons of life. You know, when we had our children, when they were all young, like, you know, prior to going to school, that was a very, very intense time, particularly for my Carol. Because they just, when they're young, they require a lot more attention. They're, you know, a lot of stuff. Now they start going to school and other things. They become, you know, more self-directed. You know, mom sort of gets more of her life back. Really, if you want to talk about the seasons of parenthood, I've thought of it as BC and AD as the great marking points. BC is before children, and AD is after their departure. You know, perhaps most of us haven't yet faced the AD portion, but it's coming. You know, in between those two great times is a time to really invest yourself in what we're talking about, of raising your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, something that does come up for us as parents is at times you get very, very frustrated in working with your kids and can get very angry. You know, they are foolish. They're oftentimes disobedient. You know, we should never discipline our children out of anger. It is good to learn to take a step back, regain composure before addressing the little fool. Another potential parental pitfall is a lack of like-mindedness between daddy and mommy. It is something that you have to work out. You have to talk about. You have to communicate. And we handled that yesterday as far as what builds a marriage. Your friends, your companions, you work together on this thing. You need to communicate about what you're doing. What do you value? What's important? And dad and mom might have different vantage points on things. And it's very, very important to listen to each other, to work together on it. And also, you have to back each other up. You know, I think of it, no end runs. You know how child gets a no from daddy, so he makes an end run to go to mommy. You know, parent, when a child comes to you and asks for something, it's good to say, well, have you asked your mother? What did she say? Right? Another potential pitfall is it can be kind of common to want to compare your children to other people's children. Well, children are different. You know, most every parent that I've ever met likes to talk about his own kids. You know, talk about what they do, how great they are, stuff. And that's fabulous. It's wonderful. I understand that. But we have to learn to appreciate each of our children as individuals. And each individual has certain long suits and also has certain weaknesses. Perhaps one of your children is really good in schoolwork. Maybe another one isn't. Well, it doesn't make the one that's good in schoolwork that superior to the one who isn't. Perhaps this one is really good at working and this one isn't. See, there's a lot of qualities that can be appreciated in each individual. But as a parent, we need to see those qualities and encourage them. Certainly another thing that can come up is a rigid legalism in parenting. you know, there's a time with children that if you continue to really press a point, it can almost break their will. And you just got to learn to back off. You know, perhaps the greatest thing that we can supply to any human being, but particularly to our children, is great love. You know, a parent needs to love his kids. Kids need to be hugged. You know, they need to be built up and commended. They need to be praised. There needs to be a lot of tenderness within a family. We certainly don't want to get so into the discipline side of, you know, parenting and, you know, using the rod of correction all the time and stuff, that we lose sight of the tenderness and the love and the compassion that needs to be in raising children. You know, another thing that comes up, you know, perhaps coming up this morning, is that you realize, hey, you know, there's some things that I should have been doing that I haven't been doing. Well, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, so don't be surprised when you get reproved a little bit. It's not just for the kids, it's for all of us. And no matter what, you can't change what's gone on prior to this moment. It's past. You know, maybe you've raised your whole family and weren't raised in the Word at all. Well, I guess you could walk around and condemn yourself for that, but you can't change it. There's nothing you can do. The one thing we can all do, though, is resolve to continue to grow in God's Word and to believe what God says at this moment. You know, really, even can't guarantee about tomorrow. It says somewhere in the Gospels, doesn't it, that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof? We got enough challenges living today. So we certainly don't need to fret about the past or the future. You know, we just want to live for Him. And certainly there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God knew we needed a Savior, and He provided it. We got it. In Luke chapter 1, is a wonderful record about John the Baptist. The effect that a man had on the nation of Israel. This is the angel speaking unto Zacharias. In verse 13 it says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." And look at the result of John the Baptist's life and ministry. Verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This is what John the Baptist accomplished in his life. And what it describes is that he turned many of Israel to the Lord. Israel had sat in darkness for 400 years. There hadn't been a prophet, there hadn't been a man of God for over 400 years. John the Baptist came and accomplished great things in a very, very short period of time, to turn many of Israel away from unbelief, away from foolishness, away from all the junk, to God. And specifically, one of the things that he accomplished was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. See, the fathers' hearts had been away from teaching their children the Word, had been away from raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, John the Baptist came, spoke God's Word, and as a result of his ministry, the father's hearts turned to the instruction of the children. Isn't that a beautiful record? Look at Proverbs chapter 10. You know, as you see God's Word, you see that it is quite a responsibility very, very important responsibility of raising our children, of teaching them the Word, so that should the Lord tarry, that this Word of God can continue. I believe every parent wants their children to be blessed. And honestly speaking, there are no blessings outside of God. You know, they might seem to be, you know, temporal pleasures or things that are fun for a moment or something, but the real blessing of life comes from God. It is a tremendous responsibility to raise children, and we've talked a little bit about how to do that. But it also, in an inner greater sense, is a great joy. There's tremendous joy in being a Christian parent. It's a privilege. It's a wonderful privilege. In Proverbs chapter 10, it says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes for a glad father. See, if we don't do that, you know what it continues to do is produce heaviness. Look at Proverbs 22. There's great joy in being a Christian parent and carrying out the responsibility that God has given to us. I'm real thankful that God's Word directs me what to do as a parent. Otherwise, having children would be sort of a scary undertaking. But with God's Word, we have direction, we have instruction, we can do it confidently. Here's one of the great promises in God's Word. In verse 6, Proverbs 22, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isn't that fabulous? Our responsibility as parents is to train up our children in the way that they should go. Now, each person, each child, has freedom of will. And as they get older, they make more and more life choices on their own. What they want to do with their life, what they're going to do, who they're going to marry, where they're going to go to school, what profession they're going to go into. A lot of things that, as a person becomes a young adult, they start to decide on their own. Perhaps a child even makes the decision to forsake the things of God for a period of time. There's nothing in the Word that guarantees that because you raise your children right, that they always will adhere to God's Word. God gave each one of us freedom of will. But God does say, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a tremendous promise, and it brings tremendous comfort to the heart of a parent to know that, even when the child at any one given point in time maybe is not manifesting the Word of God so perfectly. How about Proverbs 23? Proverbs 23 and verse 24, it says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and he that bare thee shall, what? Rejoice. I mentioned earlier the B.C. and A.D. that I see of parenting. Some of these truths really become very, very evident and clear A.D., after their departure. Because as you get older, you take more and more rejoicing in the children that you've raised up, in seeing them have their families and them having their children, your grandkids. It just causes for gladness and rejoicing. There's a tremendous reward that comes from carrying out your responsibility as Christian parents. And it's a good thing to be reminded of, because when you're in the midst of that period while you are raising them, you need some encouragement, don't you, at times? How about Proverbs 29? Verse 17, it says, correct thy son, And he shall give thee, what? Rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, becomes a wise son. It brings rest to your soul. It's a real blessing. It becomes a delight. It brings joy, rejoicing, gladness. It's a real wonderful aspect of being a parent. How about Psalm 127th Psalm? As I mentioned earlier, these are our children. In this life, they're the result of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. They're your offspring. But remember the goal in parenting. We're raising them to become Christian believers. And our children, as they're raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, do get born again of God's Spirit. As a result, in a far greater sense, they're not just our children, they're God's children. And God is more concerned about his children than we are. In Psalm 127, it speaks of this. In verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of who? The Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward." See, as much as we are rewarded as parents, you know, with joy, rejoicing, delight, gladness, the things we've been seeing, it's even a greater reward to God. You know, this whole thing is about God wanting to have a family. And on earth, there are to be families that are representative of him. You know, the parents represent God to the children. And as the children grow up, they become wonderful believers, wise sons, not only of yours, but wise sons of God, who can walk and talk and fellowship with God Almighty. And that brings great reward to God. And that's his desire, is to have a people he can bless and that he can communicate with, that he can fellowship with, that will rejoice in him and worship him and bring glory to him. And that's what we get to do as parents, is help in that process. Look at Psalm 128, the next psalm. It says, verse 1, "Blessed is everyone that fears," or that "reverences the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be," what? "Well with thee." Verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord." This reference to the olive plants. In the East, an olive tree would produce for a very long time, often for 50 years. It's a very long-lived tree. And then after that time of production, it stops. But in its old age, it would send out little plants, little shoots that grow around that old olive tree, holding it up, and then those, it would support that old tree so that it didn't fall down, and then those little shoots would start producing fruit of their own. It's a real beautiful Orientalism, comparing children growing up and becoming fruitful and also supporting the old ones, see, supporting their parents. It's a wonderful benefit of parenting, is that your children can grow up and start to become fruitful. They can start to live fruitful lives. And also in your old age, they help support you. That's what this is talking about. In the East, children were to support their parents in the old age, and if they didn't, they were thought of as infidels. And that certainly is an aspect of God's Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6.
In verse 1 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If you want a good reason for continuing to be faithful and instructing your kids in the Word, it's so that your kids can be right. So that your kids can be raised right. In verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Certainly we as parents want it to be well with our children, and we want them to live a long and fruitful life. Well, if you have that concern for your children, teach them the Word. They raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, we'll close there this morning. Verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." I believe all of us as parents want our children to be raised right. We want our children to live a long and fruitful life. And we certainly want our children to be well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, if we want those things for our children, then the Bible instructs us to teach them the Word of God. Teach them to obey Daddy and Mommy. Teach them doctrine, reproof, and correction. It brings great joy to the heart of a parent. It brings great gladness. There's great reward in carrying this out. It requires some effort, some diligence, some steadfastness, staying put. But there's tremendous reward and there's tremendous joy for being a Christian parent. Okay, so Father, thank you for the wonderful instruction that your Word gives us. And Father, I pray that this wonderful Word can live in the families that are represented here, that the dads and moms can take heed to the responsibility that you've entrusted us with and raise up these children to know you and to walk with you. And I pray not only for us, but for the next generation of believers, that should your son tarry, Father, that they can be strong in the Lord and be faithful ones, Father, and that they can continue to move this wonderful Word of God so that others can be blessed. So, Father, we're thankful for this morning and for all the wonderful treasures that your Word contains. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Okay. Keep my ticket in my pocket to remind myself. See you folks tomorrow morning. Once again at 9:30.